those commercials lately. That's part of the, just to catch everyone up, it's been, see, last week we had a missionary, which is phenomenal, and I'm going to kind of bring us up to snuff here on our series, but this is part of the He Gets Us campaign that we've been following, and it's really what's the largest campaign really in history of just getting Jesus out there, and the way that they're pushing it is quite amazing. And so we're walking through right now, it's engaging the culture and building bridges. And so things like that, when you look at that commercial, ministering now looks different. Things always change. You could be in the 1800s, hey, this looks different than the 1700s and 19 and all that. And so what we really here at the church want to do, when I feel God's directing us towards, is how are we looking at our culture? And what are we doing just to show them Jesus through our lives? It's easy to look and judge and all these different things, but you know, when it comes to judging other people, who are we comparing them to? Us? You're not quite where I'm at, so God just wants people to be loved. And so we'll be talking about the bridges, and this week it's really a lot about Jesus and his approach to building bridges. But you guys are going to be my clicker because I didn't grab it. So would you go to the next slide, please? This is just a recap of a couple of weeks ago. Why do we build bridges? The church is a space where God's people meet for worship, discipleship occurs, and comfort one another. That's really what the church is meant for. The culture is the space where God's people go to share the good news of Jesus, advocate for justice, and serve the hurting. If you go to the next slide. So what do bridges do? They draw together two sides. We all know what a bridge does. Without the bridge, what do you have? You have a separation from one side to the other. Thank you, my friend. So by overcoming barriers, bridges make communication and travel between two regions that otherwise had been impossible. Now think of this in the light of your worlds, the people that you're around, and just sharing Jesus. Does it seem like there's any relationship that is impossible to reach? And I think that's where it could be a misconception. Or open new opportunities by overcoming these barriers, bridges enable expansion and exploration to areas previously unreachable. And so, Jesus, he was quite the bridge builder. Two bridges approach. Historical models of evangelism, I'm blind, so I'm going to turn around, have tended to focus on getting people across the divinity bridge as they move from unsaved to saved. But spiritually open people don't reach that bridge without first crossing the respect bridge. So this is what we learned a couple weeks ago, that may be a different way of thinking. In other words, people have to see Jesus before they can understand the fullness of Christ. So you may hear the term, gone are the days, and maybe that's so, maybe not. But in my mind, kind of gone are the days where to stand on the street corner and shout out, you're going to hell unless you repent. Now that's truth. I'm not denying that at all. But that form of reaching people isn't working. Because right now our culture is like, well, that's all you Christians want to do is judge me anyway. And the He Gets Us campaign, what they're shooting for is, let's let people know that this Jesus is someone that loves them. And one thing they've realized in all their studies is that people don't have a great problem with Jesus. You know what they struggle with? The church. And so some people aren't seeing the correlation. They hear about, oh yeah, he was in the Bible. He was a man that would heal people, would pray for people. His mission was just walking and just trying to help people. Sounds like a pretty awesome guy, actually. He put his faith in people that others didn't put their faith in. But then they struggle with what their conception of church is, or maybe coming under that authority. So what's our job? We just want to be Jesus to people and help bridge that gap. And so I'm going to walk us through a few scriptures on how Jesus did that. This is going to be what we're going to cover. Jesus invited people to join, he addressed needs, and he shared his table. And that's what I want want to walk us through. So one of the first things Jesus says in the gospel is the invitation to join him. Come and follow me, even when people are excluded, like the Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus, etc. Jesus invited them in. So he didn't have a group or a clique or a crowd. He loved people. He came for all, that none should perish, but all find repentance. He addresses the needs. Before teaching, Jesus fed 5,000, interrupted by the paralytic. Jesus healed him. Confronted by a father seeking help for his son, Jesus engaged. So Jesus took the opportunity just to care for people's needs. He shared his table. One of the most common acts of Jesus in the gospel is eating. Who here enjoys eating? The act of eating, the preparation, the smell, the sit down, the gathering of people. Eating is a huge thing in our culture. Well, in life, but just the act of engaging in that. One of the most common acts of Jesus in the gospel is eating, one of the most important and intimate acts of that first century culture. Jesus made the conscious decision to eat both with sinners and the religious leaders. So let's walk through. Basically, this week I'll be teaching on Jesus and his bridges. Next week, we'll be teaching on the Apostle Paul and how he built bridges. And then the third week was really, how do we do put this, apply this to our lives? Now, basically, we can apply all this to our lives. I mean, my third week, we'll be pulling it together. But as I'm speaking, don't take this in as a history lesson. Think about you and your life and the people in your life. How can you apply this teaching to your life? And if you're saying, I already am, praise God. Fantastic. But we always want to, how can we do better? So Jesus invited others to join him. Jesus called out and said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Who was he talking to? This was his first invitation to his disciples. This is Peter and his brother. So one thing we have to notice about that is Jesus didn't wait to be invited. He made the invitation. So when we look at our lives, how many opportunities do we have to make invitations of people just to join us? Now, we are not the messiahs looking for disciples, but we are disciples looking basically for followers, looking to show and shine a light to people, looking to show them the way of Jesus Christ. So granted, you have to do a little bit of work here in reading the scripture. You're not going out and saying, hey, I'm not this messiah, but I am a child of God. So Jesus went to people and he invited them. And he went to the masses, he went to the few, he went to the rich, he went to the poor. He didn't have a club or a certain amount of people that he was comfortable with. Basically, he realized that we're all created by God. And so he made invitations to people just to be a part of who he was. As we go on, walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and he followed him. Now this struck me because two things. Yes, he was a tax collector. Tax collectors were basically thieves. They made their own paychecks. And so they added whatever they wanted on top of the already high tax. And so people didn't really care for them. So Jesus went up to someone was living a life that he didn't agree with. But it didn't stop him from confronting him. Why? Because he knew that this Matthew needed what Jesus had. So he just offered himself. And what's funny is Matthew got up and followed him. Sometimes we'll be surprised when we act out in the Holy Spirit and the power of God. We'll be surprised what the reaction is. I think sometimes I will say within myself, I know I defeat myself before it even happens. You know what? I could talk to this person. They just gave me a little bit of an indoor, but I can about guarantee you what they're going to say. They're going through this hard time. I'm going to say, you know what? I believe that God's is watching you. I'm just going to keep you in and pray for you. And I've heard the answer before, yeah, whatever. And so sometimes we defeat ourselves and it keeps us from taking that step of really inviting ourselves to join in and offer them just us. But Matthew got up and he followed him. Once again, now we're going from, like we just talked about, we're going from introducing Jesus to really talking about Christ. So Jesus, he would invite people, he would bring them in But then he knows that there's a deeper purpose. So he begins into that deeper purpose. And he says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. So now he begins to help them understand that, you know what, right now, world, you're living for you. And you're falling short and you're struggling, and that's why. But if you can walk into me in my obedience and put your faith in me and my word, I'm telling you what, I'm going to show you a much greater life than you even realize. So now he's getting more and more serious with them. And then this is what can happen. We're talking about the rich man that came up to Jesus and said, hey, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now, this verse isn't saying, in order to follow Jesus, you have to be poor. Jesus looked into the heart of this man, and he knew what divided him from God. In this case, it was riches. It can be all different things. So he said, I need to get, basically, I can't build a bridge across to get to you until you put me first. So I need you to remove that obstacle that's blocking you from me. And the hard truth is, this will happen many times, where they say, you know, what did the man do? He went away sad. Because he refused. He was offered it, but he refused. That happens. We are people created with a choice. We make the choice that we feel either best for us, or many times it's just that we desire. We often know what's best for us and choose something else because the desire is stronger than what the knowledge is saying, wait, this isn't a good idea. And so Jesus, he invited people in, then he got real with them. At times like Matthew, people just got up and followed him. And other times like the rich man, they heard the truth, but then they walked on. That's a reality, but that didn't keep Jesus from pursuing people. And so as you go on, he addressed needs. It says that large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, can you heal me and make me clean? Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Now let's read into the story for a second. Jesus has something going on. He has large crowds. He is now ministering to the masses. He's a little busy, and it's important work. Guess what happens when a man with leprosy runs into a crowd of people? Anybody? The crowd disperses. So we read this scripture and we're thinking, oh yeah, that was nice, he just healed him. No, this man with leprosy wrecked everything that was going on right then. I mean, were people this close on the edge of their seat to salvation? What was going on as Jesus was addressing these crowds? What does Jesus do? He sees a need, he recognizes it, and he prays for the man. And after that, I bet he still had time to get back to the crowd. He didn't take his agenda and put it above what could walk in. So sometimes it's a great lesson for us to think, what is it in life that is so important to us that maybe we're missing what God actually wants us to be doing? We go on Matthew 8:5-7. Now this is a separate situation. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now that's the story where this is a soldier that goes on to say, you know what, I understand the situation. I'm a soldier, I'm an authority. You actually don't need to come. I believe that you can do it from where you're at. He was right, but the moral of this story, what I'm getting at here, was what did Jesus say he would instantly do? That he would go. Was that in his plans? It wasn't. He was going to turn his plans to something that he found to be more important. And because of this man's faith, he actually stayed right there, prayed over him. The centurion went home, and the servant was healed. Matthew 14:13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, now this was sad news, John the Baptist had just been beheaded, and it says a lot of things. Now, I can't go put myself exactly in Jesus' shoes, but knowing what we know, this let Jesus know, hey, things are happening. That's the persecution. Jesus knew that he was next. He also knew that John the Baptist had been completely faithful to do exactly what God asked him to do. And he was also a friend, and he was a family member. So Jesus had so much in his mind. Not only that, but as a leader, helping others grieve this loss, because John the Baptist was known by so many people, and this wasn't making any sense. If this truth was so great and this good news was so good, why are people getting knocked off because of it? And so because of that, it says large crowds. Oops, that's not where I want to go. As soon as he heard this news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Have you ever been in that situation? You just need to be alone. You don't quite understand maybe, hey, what is going on? God, would you just walk me through this? We've all probably been there several times in different areas of our life. And so for other things to come in right then, that's hard. Sometimes you just want to even build walls up, and sometimes a day becomes a week becomes a month, and you don't function well because of something that's so severely gripped us. So he goes out to be alone, but the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped into the boat. He had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Does this talk about just the heart of Jesus? He was going through his own stuff, but he still had such a passion for people. Now keep in mind, he is the Messiah. He was both human and divine. We are only one of those. There are times when you need to grieve, and I'm not saying drop everything you have to get through hard spots. But Jesus had such an ability to realize why he was here. And it wasn't about him. It was about getting the truth to others. So even at inconvenient times, he would just do what was necessary for others to understand and hear the truth. And then Matthew 14:15 says this, that evening the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages, buy food for themselves. Jesus said, this isn't necessary, you feed them. So this was the 5,000. So he's speaking to 5,000 people on this mountainside, and it's getting late. He's drawn such a crowd. They're just biting into this truth and understanding and loving the what this good news stands for. But then the disciples, just in all reality, said, man, you're shot. We're tired. It's been a long day. Just send them on. And Jesus still said, you know what? I think we can do even more for them. And what's interesting about this part of the story is, because of Jesus' passion for people, it caused him to act out in a way that allowed his disciples to see and learn from it. You see, we're being watched. And so when we act out in the power of the Holy Spirit, believing that he can do something amazing, when we're reaching out to build a relationship, and we're allowing ourselves just to tell people the truth, we are not doing this alone. Jesus' example was building and preparing his disciples for when Jesus was going to be gone. Our example in our world and our life of showing people Jesus, it's not about us and what we're doing and what size of mansion we're going to have in heaven. It's taking the message forward to allow people to receive it, be discipled, and then on their own take that message forward. It's like this beautiful domino effect. And then, I love this, he shared his table. Later, Levi invited, now this is Matthew the tax collector, also known as Levi, he invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests. So who's coming along with Jesus? His disciples. They're coming along for the ride. They're seeing and they're watching Jesus, not only what he's doing, but how it's being perceived, and they're able to see firsthand people that are being changed because of it. So I'm telling you what, parents, lead your kids. Grandparents, lead your kids in the truth. No matter what this world says the truth is, the Bible knows what the truth is. Lead them in the truth. People are watching. Your kids are watching. Their friends are watching. Lead them in the truth. Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Another interpretation says notorious. So notorious also means that it's known. So if you're a known sinner, you're really living in sin, and either you don't realize it or you don't really care. The lifestyle is what it is, and you're fine with it. He's sitting down with these people. There are many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. How many people are repelled by certain other people? Any of you? Boy, I can be. There's just such a, maybe it's the way they speak or just the perversity. And you're thinking, how can, and you just begin to like judge it. How can you even be that way, sound that way, that crude, speak that crudely to your wife or be that disrespectful towards women walking in front of you? How could, you're disgusting. Sometimes I struggle with that daily of just being in the marketplace. And we get strung on viewing what we're seeing, basically on differently than what we know can be seen, if they would understand life like we know it. And so Jesus was just hanging out with these sinners because he knew that he had something that would just completely change their lives. So he had the ability to see people and not judge them for who they were, but love them for who they are, knowing who they could be if they were just to follow the truth. And that is very easy to say and harder to do. But I love that about him. And so you're thinking, okay, so just like the commercial said, he's just this rebel, man. He's finding all the down and outs and just knuckle burgers out there, and that's who he's going for. Well, listen to this. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Pharisee, we're talking about the high priest. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were well-to-do, dressed very well. They were not hurting financially at all. And Jesus went and sat with them. See, the word says, I've come for all to be saved and none to perish. So his heart was for all. So in the same way that we may make fun of, you know, lowly, peasant, disgusting people, sometimes if you go the other way, Jesus here was dealing with people that wanted him dead. That when he laid out the scripture, they refused to see the correlation from the Old Testament talking about this Messiah to the New Testament and realizing the Messiah had come. He was dealing with arrogance. He had people over his tenure on earth spit in his face, belittle him. Anyone ever had anyone spit in your face? Gosh, I haven't yet. I can't even imagine. The disgust, just knowing not only the physical disgust, but this person thinks so little of you that their spit is now on you. And what did Jesus do? It was just that other turn-the-cheek mentality, realizing you need a Savior. And right now, this ugliness coming out of you, that can be changed. So when I look at this verse, it grips me. See, the verse before I really liked. Oh, it's so cool, man. Jesus, you're hanging out and you're just showing people love. But now he's hanging out with people who really don't even care for him. And he's showing them the love. He's giving them the opportunity. It's interesting if you read after Jesus passes and the Pentecost happens and people speak and the 3,000 come. It talks about many at that time were saved, even Jewish priests. So some of the people that may have been at this very table that were just struggling with what their leaders were saying and what this Jesus was saying, that they realized, wait, that's the man that I sat with. That's the man that gave me the time of day. And he's the man that healed, and he's the man that loved, and he's the man that forgave. Wait, there's something to this that my leaders aren't telling me. So his actions had so much power, so much weight. Jesus engaged culture and built bridges through invitation, meeting people's needs, in eating with the saint and the sinner. Now, as much as we're going to learn about this for a couple more weeks, we can take this and we can apply this now to our lives. So look at your life. Go with me in the, I am a phenomenal daydreamer. I could look at you right now, sometimes with my eyes open or even shut, and I can picture things. I can drive with my cruise set on 75 miles an hour and daydream. I don't even know how I stay on the road. So I have this phenomenal picture in my mind. Try to do this with me if you would. If it helps to shut your eyes, shut them. But just now picture, go through your life. Who is it that you rub shoulders with? Go to your house. Go to your workplace. Go to your shopping center. Go to your hobby. Maybe it's the golf course. Maybe it's all these. But just begin to right now walk through. Now that's just places. Now take your mind into our digital world. Who do you talk to on Facebook? Who do you talk to on all the different Instagram, TikToks, whatever you want to name? Who is it that you're involved with? Who is it that you have influence on, or at least a voice to, in all these different areas? And as you're picturing that, just, I'm going to read this again and start doing the math. Jesus engaged culture and built bridges through invitation, meeting people's needs, eating with the saint and the sinner. How can you in your life and your situation apply these? By inviting people. Sometimes that's just inviting people into a relationship, just bringing them in, letting them know that you are approachable and you care. And then the meeting of the needs is another thing. Hey, it's more than just, yeah, whatever, what you can do for me, but I care for you so much that you need prayed for, I'll pray for you. You need help moving, I'll help you move. Or if one time I had somebody who says, man, my back's not good, but here's some money, but go get a mover. I mean, there's different ways just to bless people. And then eating with the sinner and the saint, realizing that, wait a second, I love you people equal. I've been called as a person of faith just to love equally. And if you struggle with that, number one, you're human. Number two, pray for that struggle. God, for whatever reason, this group of people are difficult for me. Father, will you help me? And when he gives you the opportunity, and it will happen, you'll know it because it's extremely uncomfortable. You'll be pulled out of your box. But when you act in obedience, it's more than what you're able to do. It's what the Holy Spirit's able to do through you. Our call is to show people Jesus Christ. And so we have this phenomenal bridge builder right here that laid it out for us and how he did that. And that's what we want to focus on. So as we pray, stay in that neighborhood of make-believe for a moment in your life and just ask God, what opportunities do you have for me? What opportunities am I missing? What opportunities can I take? So Father, right now, we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, but I pray that we will feel it, that we will feel that pull that goes beyond our mind and our heart, that we will feel maybe it's a push right now. Maybe God, you're using pictures in our minds of people or situations, so may we understand where we are being directed by your Holy Spirit to show the love to Jesus, to build that bridge, to take what now is a void where we can't seem to get to the other side, and may we take the time and the effort and the love and the compassion just to attempt an invitation, attempt to care for a need, attempt to eat at the table of both saints and sinners. Lord God, break our hearts for people. Give us a good look at our schedules and the things that we're doing and our priorities. At the same time, help us understand the areas where we are and why we are there. It's not, probably not about us, it's about the people that we're around. God, you have, I think of my life, you put me in places all over the place that had nothing to do with what I wanted to do. Gymnastics and sports and all the bleacher time, all these things. You have put me around these people. God, you are putting us around people. May we just care for them. May we invite them into a relationship. May they know, should they ever go on, whether it's to life or death or go on to a move, may they have known through us that we cared for them that we are believers and that Jesus loves them. May our lives stand for that. So, Father, I pray right now over each and every person here, each and every person listening, as we apply these principles to our lives, may we just be just aware and just cognizant of what's out there. And the people you've put in place. So empower us, dear God, just to love as you loved. May we join this phenomenal opportunity in the world now that we're seeing moves of God and we're seeing Hollywood actually talk about Jesus, and we're seeing commercials talk about this Jesus. This is just a prime time to really have conversations and build relationships. So empower each of us. May we walk in obedience, but also knowing that we're not doing this alone. We are empowered by you. So thank you, dear God. Thank you for this church, for what you have for us in the future. May we just be kingdom-minded. We pray all this in your name. Everyone says,